NFL draft rankings, position by position, Matt Williamson's top five at every position in the NFL draft. Not on today's show. We're only diving into quarterbacks and running backs, starting on the offensive side of the ball, but we will get to every position group in the 2023 NFL draft right here on Peacock and Williamson.
NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson bring you expert NFL analysis every day in less than 30 minutes. Get an inside look into the NFL on the field and in the front office. With elite breakdowns, next level analysis, and in-depth information only for the real NFL fans. This is Peacock and Williamson, and it starts now.
Welcome to the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock alongside Matt Williamson at BD Peacock at Williamson NFL on Twitter. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, quarterbacks and running backs, 2023 NFL draft rankings, courtesy of my esteemed co-host, Matt Williamson. And I guess we just got to start quarterbacks. It's been the story, the story all the way through, at least the first couple picks, it looks like, of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and I plan on spending more time today on running backs than quarterbacks. We've talked quarterbacks quite a bit. We haven't dug into the running back class. And pull back the curtain. Here is my assignment from Steelers.com, the Steelers official website. They had me and two others. They call it the triple take. You know, Mike Prosciutto, Dale Lally, and Matt Williamson. But you know, we all do our top five at every position. Like a month or so ago, like 6 weeks ago, very preliminary. They knew we hadn't dug in deep. The combine hadn't happened. Pro days hadn't happened. And that just to make fans aware, here's a thumbnail. Here's our top five quarterbacks, top five defensive tackles, whatever. Now they're coming out with part two, where it's basically our official final rankings. Combines are in the books. And there's less of a write-up about those five. But there's, you know, just are basically our final ranks and why. And then there's a little section here also worth considering, which is they just said, write something entertaining, you know, you know, like do whatever you want there, but do something entertaining, maybe down the line, guys. I have to tell you this because they're very, because they're an NFL team, they make it very, 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 very clear. This has nothing to do with the Steelers. I'm not sitting there with the Steelers quarterback coach. This is not their opinion. This is Matt Williamson's opinion, and we do videos with them, and we wear Steeler gear, and it's in the Steeler facility, but we always make it very clear this is not the thoughts of the Steelers, because everyone's always worried on Twitter. Steelers.com has the number one quarterback as Tanner McKee. That's who they're going to draft. Well, it really isn't that way, so I always have to say that. It's kind of like a display.
This is the class through Matt Williamson's scouting goggles, not through the scouts of the Steelers goggles.
Yes, Mike Tomlin had nothing to do with these, believe it or not.
Mike Tomlin loves the pro day circuit. He's at all the pro days. I feel like less and less coaching staffs are going to the pro days and doing all the traveling these days. And maybe it's sort of a post-COVID thing where teams are like, I guess it doesn't really help all that much for all of our staff to go to all these stinking pro days. But Mike Tomlin's all about it. He loves it. He loves shaking hands, looking the prospects in the eyes, even if the guys that they know are going to be gone before they even get there.
Yeah, and they're real big at taking guys. They always take a guy out to dinner the night before. He's super into the Senior Bowl. Anyone that watched Senior Bowl coverage, he's on the field kind of coaching things up. So, yeah, I mean, even this long into his tenure, he is into it. And he's very instrumental in the whole scouting process. So, let's talk quarterbacks.
Yeah, and we didn't do your so has any for you with your top five quarterback rankings? Because we kind of know, and we can go through this faster maybe than some other position groups, because we kind of know who the top five guys are.
Exactly. And my original five, I'm sorry, what's that? Yeah, the top changed a little. I went Bryce Young, Stroud, Richardson. And remember, he hadn't blown up the combine to that degree yet. Levis, Hendon Hooker. The only change I made is the more I watch CJ Stroud, I think he's a distant number one. I know that's sort of I think he stands alone. And then I think Young is next. Richardson sort of is it by himself. I think there's a gap from Stroud to Young. I think there's a gap from Young to Richardson. I absolutely think there's a gap from Richardson to Levis. And I was very tempted, but I didn't have the stones to put Hooker over Levis in this last one. I just couldn't quite get there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got
a little more controversy there.
Gaps closing as well. So CJ Stroud's your new number one, and maybe even distancing himself. Then we've got a tier two of its own. Bryce Young. here where we've got the high upside Anthony Richardson, who you liked already pre-combine, even though he blew up the combine. And then Levis after that. And Hendon Hooker even on the heels of Levis. And you're thinking it's maybe a five quarterback first round this year.
Yeah. And I can't remember if I said this yesterday or not. I've been doing so many things lately. I saw Daniel Jeremiah put Hooker at the Vikings in his latest mock draft. And I was jealous. I wish I thought of that. You know, I think that's like a perfect spot for him to land, or the Lions second round, second pick, or Seattle's pick. So I think Hooker should be a first round pick.
Vikings are a little bit of a sneaky first round quarterback team. And, you know, with the Kirk Cousins and how that spread out, and how it would be a good place for a 1 year sit and learn quarterback situation.
Absolutely. And he's very expensive. He is what he is. Kevin O'Connell didn't draft him. You know, not that there's anything wrong with Cousins. I'm not picking on him. I know we got a Twitter question a couple weeks ago. Why are you always rough on Kirk Cousins? I mean, I just think it makes more financial sense to develop Hooker and not have all that money tied in. And Cousins isn't young anymore. You know, I mean, he's in the Luck and RG3 draft class.
So we kind of know what the scouting reports are with a lot of these quarterbacks now. We don't have to get into that too much today. And especially with Anthony Richardson, raw, we know what the upside is. Tape, you know, needs work, but absurd tools. Will Levis, similarly, you know, great arm strength, but, you know, kind of up and down career. Tape isn't amazing. Maybe better 2021 than 2022, but certainly first round tools. And he's going to go somewhere in the first round. It's just where and who actually loves him the most and wants to work with him. And then Hendon Hooker, a little bit older prospect, good tape, some injuries and those things. But really, it's the talk is going to be one and two. And we think they're going to be gone probably one, two in the NFL draft with the Panthers and the Houston Texans. So, Matt, if you're GM of one of those teams, what's your argument there for CJ Stroud?
I'm having a really hard time putting things in the negative column. I was, to be very honest, I was very prejudiced against CJ Stroud when I knew he was going to be first-round quarterback because he's from Ohio State. And they'd never have had a good one. I mean, my whole lifetime, they've never had a good NFL quarterback. Maybe Justin Fields changes that. And I just thought, that's too big a body of work. But that's helmet scouting, and that's where mistakes are made. You know, I've just, the more I've watched him, the more I understand his game, the more impressed I am. And I really have a hard time finding true negatives on the guy. And I know some people will say, didn't run enough. Okay, well, he did run against Georgia when his team was finally overmatched, and he ran well. He's not going to be Richardson. He's not going to be a great runner, but he's more than adequate. He also moves his feet and shows athleticism very well to throw. You know, I mean, it's not, he's not a statue. He's very mobile, throwing on the run, behind the line of scrimmage, in the pocket. That's more important to me, but he can run if needed. Now, what nobody talks about when they say he didn't run as much as you'd like at Ohio State. Okay, that's a fair argument. You'd like to see better rushing numbers. But if I'm his coach, I'm telling him, please throw the ball to Chris Olave and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Smith Njigba. I don't need my star quarterback running and taking a hit when you have these receivers.
It's really bizarre. I don't know if I've ever heard that as part of an NFL quarterback scouting report, that the quarterback didn't run enough. It's always, he runs too much, doesn't play from the pocket. We don't know how he projects to the NFL. So that's bizarre to me. I can't even believe someone would put that in the negative column.
I know. And I mean, it's an Ohio State thing too. I mean, look how much more Fields has run the last 10 games he's played, as opposed to his rookie year and Ohio State at the beginning of the year. You can get guys to run more. Like, this isn't a problem area. I mean, telling a guy, hey, please run more. Okay, I can do that. It's not like, hey, please get more accurate, or please don't be 5'10 anymore.
Next, I want to get your thoughts on Bryce Young, why he might be number two instead of number one. And then Matt Williamson's running back NFL draft rankings for 2023 as well. Today's episode of Peacock and Williamson is brought to you by Built Bar, and it is tourney time, which means it is Built March Madness time as well. It's the annual Built Bar March Madness bracket, and you can go vote. Make your vote count. Vote for your favorite bar or puff flavor at Built March Madness.com. You know, I'll be voting for the peanut butter flavors. I believe the Williamson household's a little bit more on the puffs than I am. I like the traditional bars more than the puffs, but from the way I understand it, the Williamson household just devours whatever comes when the shipment happens at Built Bar. And when you vote for your favorite Built Bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On listener will get a 12-month subscription to Built and have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built Bars. They're amazing. The best protein bar ever. I don't know how they pack all the flavor and keep it low calorie, low sugar, but high in protein. But they do. And most Built Bars covered in 100% real chocolate. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com. That's BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff. And pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop on in and support your pick. Matt, your pick for the top quarterback in the NFL draft right now. We'll see if that changes again for you. It's changed once already. CJ Stroud won. And I want to focus on Bryce Young here at two and why he's two and why there might be a little bit of a gap growing there. Is it all about size?
Most of it. I mean, I think Stroud is more quarterbacky, you know, in terms of making every throw the way it's designed, manipulating defenses, pocket presence, certainly size and strength and all those things.
The accuracy and ease, I just want to say really quick, with the way Stroud throws, the accuracy and ease, catchable balls, and just watching, you know, just, you know, you see it at the combine, you see it at Ohio State, and I wasn't super blown away by CJ Stroud's career at Ohio State, and I remember early in the season, it was like, oh, these are the top two quarterbacks in the draft, and it turns out that it looks like they're going to be in Bryce Young and Stroud, and I was like, really, these two guys? This is we're going to crown these guys already. They kind of grow on you, both of them, especially Stroud. And just seeing his pro day yesterday, seeing the balls just rainbow down and just fall right exactly the ball placement and the accuracy.
Absolutely.
It's one of the more accurate arms I've seen coming out in a while.
Very well said. And that doesn't need any work. You know, some of these guys are all over the place. So, yes, the size very, very much bothers me with Young. And right before we hit record, and this isn't fair to him, you know, because he's not these players, but frankly, he's noticeably smaller than these players. I went and just looked how many games played Lamar, Kyler, and Tua have played. I mean, they're highly drafted, starting quarterbacks, very good players. And Lamar came in the league, not as a starter right away, if you remember, but he played all 16 games his rookie year and took over the starting job about halfway through. Great. Next 2 years, he played 15 games out of 16, one of which he won the MVP. Great. But still, you missed the game both times. Then he played 12, and last year he played 12. I don't love that, and I trust Lamar's physicality, size, strength 1,000 times more than Young. Kyler came in, played 16. But if you recall, every year he's been in the league, the second half of the year is not nearly as good as the first half of the year. 2 years ago, he played 14. This past year, he played 11 and is currently very injured. Not like a little bit injured. He's very injured and probably won't play well into next year. Tua came into the league injured, if you recall, you know, from Alabama, played 10 games as a rookie, played 13 the next year, and 13 last year, and left last season with a massive concussion that wasn't cleared till well after the Super Bowl. I don't like that.
I think there's something to the re-signing of Laramie Tunsil if ends up being the number two pick in the draft, because he's a quarterback you have to protect. And I know he can make plays and he can create a little bit. And you know, he's not a dynamic runner. And I don't think, you know, running around is going to be a huge part of his game. And you would probably not want that to be a big part of his game. He needs to use his legs to get out of trouble and not get hit, because and he's less physically built than all the guys you mentioned. He's such an outlier. All these guys, any quarterback you can think of a quarterback. Bryce Young is smaller than that guy. And he's been healthy relatively so far, but all it takes is that one hit. So protecting Bryce Young if you draft him has to be a huge part of your plan.
Two more things I want to add is, okay, I'm going to stand by those rankings. I think, subject to change, but I think Stroud stands alone. I urge all of you listening, please don't at me. I don't think I've ever said that in my life before. 2 weeks into the season or at Halloween when Young looks tremendous. give this one a little time to simmer and marinate. Like I said, I mean, those guys I will mention played some games early, you know, let's talk around November. Let's talk year three. You know, like, this is not going to be an immediate fix. Boy, Stroud's a million times better than Young, because I think that's going to take some time.
Running back, Matt, I just want to ask you this. Let's say magic pill Bryce Young shows up 6'2", 215 tomorrow. Does that change? What is that? Does that change anything for you?
Then it's a tie. Because he still doesn't. Okay. I still love the way Stroud throws the ball and goes through progressions and does the way the play's designed, which people don't think about. Now, you mentioned Joe Montana yesterday. Very, very skinny dude, small guy. And I'm stealing this from Mike Sando because I was listening to his podcast just this morning. Friend of the show, Sando's awesome. And they were talking about this sort of similar conversation. And they said, well, quarterbacks are protected better now than the Montana days. And yes, that's true. And Sando said, but we've seen some smaller quarterbacks. And back in the day, like Montana, when they get hit, the way Sando said it was, they get thrown into the stands. You know, like the Montana collisions, Jim Burt hitting Montana wasn't like Haloti Ngata hitting Ben Roethlisberger. You know what I mean? Like, they're violent, ragdoll, thrown around like a little kid. That's going to happen to Young.
Right. Yeah. So can he withstand it? And can he withstand it continuously? Because you're going to get hit in the NFL.
Everybody does.
And hit players become hurt players. And it's a longevity thing, because this is where you could love Bryce Young, love the tape, and you could get it right and still get it wrong if he's not available for you and he's hurt and banged up. And then it starts 100%. To linger. Now you got a bad leg and now you got a bad arm. And now he's not the same quarterback because he's hurt or he's just not on the field, period.
Right. And the Bryce Young supporters 10 years from now will say, well, poor guy didn't have a chance. And anyone could get hurt. Elway could get hurt. I mean, anyone could get hurt. The biggest guys out there, Josh Allen. But I think he's a very good quarterback. I just don't think he can hold up.
Enough to keep him from one for you. And he's still here. Exactly. So you're not crushing the kid. He's really good.
He's a really good football player. Yeah.
How far and away is Bijan Robinson for you, number one, at running back?
The best I can remember, better than Barkley. I mean, I remember watching Adrian Peterson when I was at Pitt, his high school tape. I didn't watch him like I do professionally. So I would say he's the best running back prospect I've ever seen.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Barkley was the number two pick in the NFL draft. So it's saying something. And so that's ahead of Christian McCaffrey. That's ahead of Zeke Elliott coming out, who's a top five pick. That's
Fournette went high, but they're not close.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching Adrian Peterson when he was 17 years old. And he's the one guy I thought didn't need to go to college to play in the league. I watched Maurice Clarett in high school and he was in that category, but I'll take Bijan over all of them. Yeah.
Everybody's got Bijan number one.
Sure.
Including Matt Williamson. Cliff's notes, short version. Everyone loves him. A lot of strengths. Is there anything that's like, if he's not amazing, it's because of blank?
I think you're a believer that pure speed for the running back position is down the list of traits you're interested in. But he's fast. He's just not really, really, really fast.
Okay. The next guy on your list, Matt, is really, really fast. And he's kind of the universal number two. Looking at your list from earlier this offseason to post-combine, that doesn't change. Alabama's Jahmyr Gibbs. He's dynamic. The biggest guy, 5'9", 199. But man, fast and dynamic.
Not quite as physical as Austin Ekeler, who we talked about earlier in the week, but that mold for sure. I mean, running backs don't catch passes in the college level nearly to the degree of the NFL. He was Alabama. You know, the receivers they usually have, their leading receiver this year. And explosive as the day is long. I mean, many years he would be the best back in this draft, but he's not quite 200 pounds.
I think he's a much better prospect than James Cook, who came out last year and went in the second round. So, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, depending on how high Bijan Robinson goes, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs might sneak into that first conversation as well. I think he can be a three down back, but just the passing down value, what he can bring, you know, Alvin Kamara is probably the best comp I can come up with for what Jahmyr Gibbs could be in the NFL.
I agree. I think Kamara's about 215 though, but in terms of usage, yes, he doesn't have the lower body tackle breaking that Kamara has, but yeah, it's a great comp. I mean, an Eckler, a Kamara, some McCaffrey to him, you know what I mean? Maybe he only has 15 touches a game, but five of them are going to change the game, you know?
And it'll tell us how high he goes for what teams think of him as an early down back, because everyone's going to love him as a third down back. But does he get the – he's just a change of pace guy treatment by the league, or does he get the – we don't care, but we want to get the ball in his hands? Because when you watch Alabama games, your eyes go to Gibbs every single time. You're like, that guy's got something.
Oh, yeah. Lots of juice. You know, rare juice amongst skill guys that have juice all over the place. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know who their receivers are at the moment. I don't think they have Judy as we speak in Ruggs, but I'm sure that they're just a younger version of those guys. But he stands out on that team and was the feature of the offense.
Yeah, it's funny because people talk about how, you know, Bryce Young didn't have the juggernaut Alabama rosters that some past quarterbacks had. And I'm like, yeah, well, wait a draft or two and we'll find out what those juniors and sophomores were this year. And those will be some household names, I bet, in future first rounds to come. So there's probably a lot more talent than we even realize on that Alabama.
That's my hunch. I mean, what, the last two drafts have yielded a bunch of first round picks from there. So this year doesn't have one. So they stink. You know, I mean,
like, it's not like, yeah, it's not like 3 years ago Alabama had like the 47th best recruiting class or something, you know.
right. They couldn't get anyone this year. Jahmyr Gibbs transferred. I mean, like, right. They could get anybody they wanted to transfer portal too, you know, right?
Yeah, a couple transfers starting for him this year.
Right.
So they'll be just fine. Bijan Robinson 1, Jahmyr Gibbs 2. That is pretty chalky so far. 3 through 5 for you and some honorable mentions we'll get to next for Matt Williamson's 2023 NFL draft rankings at running back next. Today's episode of Peacock and Williamson is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. The tournament heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel because new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. You do, you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. Love the app. Love the website interface as well. If you prefer to use a desktop or your laptop when you're perusing, different kind of ways to bet on sports like money lines or point scores in those basketball games. Three-pointers drain. Tons of props for the tournament. NBA games. NHL. We got Major League Baseball getting going next week as well. You can bet on that every single day all summer long. And I love those NFL draft props at FanDuel. Plus, FanDuel lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same-game parlays. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and the NBA. Bijan Robinson, running back 1. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back 2. Who is your running back 3 in the 2023 NFL draft?
This might be a little chalky, but the top 3 for me hasn't changed. It's Zach Charbonnet from UCLA. I'm a very well-rounded player. He does have some long speed for a bigger guy. He's very accomplished in the passing game. Very physical. Breaks a lot of arm tackles. The best comparison I've heard for him that I really am on board with is James Conner with more juice.
My comp for him is David Montgomery. Do you feel okay?
Not bad.
Yeah, it's kind of like he looks the part of what a traditional running back looks like. And there might be a big gap from when the first couple of guys go to when 3, 4, 5 go in the NFL draft. It's hard to know exactly how teams feel about him and running backs. You know, clearly teams are not spending the resources they used to at running back. But, he looks like a 3-down and helped himself throughout this postseason and NFL draft lead up process.
Absolutely. And I should have opened with this, but I think this is an exceptional running back draft. And I think that there's 10 names that come in between 4 and 10 or between 4 and 10 that would make sense. I mean, if you like Zach Evans, Devon Achane, Rashawn Johnson, Tajay Spears, And I could go down the list. I mean, even you're going to get fifth and sixth rounders that have a Pacheco-like rookie year. Dwayne McBride from UAB, Tank Bigsby from Auburn. There's a lot of really, really good running backs in this class, which, and if you're not taking Bijan or Gibbs, maybe they fall like crazy because, do I want Spears or do I want A-Chain? Nah, I'll just wait around and get whoever's still there, you know?
Yeah, kind of splitting hairs, and there's a lot of good ones, and there's going to be really good running backs drafted probably into day three, as is often the case at that position in the NFL. You mentioned A-Chain. Did Devin A-Chain help himself or hurt himself at the combine? Because he's a blazer out of Texas A&M, but it's only 5'8 and a half, 188 pounds.
Yeah. So my original 4 and 5 was A-Chain and Evans, who I mentioned, from Ole Miss. And I moved that to Spears from Tulane and Roshan Johnson from Texas, who's Bijan's backup. And really, A-Chain and Evans did nothing to hurt their cause. I just think 188 pounds and 5'8 and a half is a little tough for me to swallow, kind of in the Bryce Young conversation a little bit. But he is world-class fast. Like this, he has, you know, sprinting numbers that are, you know, he wins the SEC sprints and stuff like that. You know, I mean, he can go.
But yeah, but at that size, you just can't project him to more than a change of pace. And, you know, with a guy, it's just tough at 188 pounds as fast as he is.
Exactly. You know, so it's just the usage thing. You know, I could see a team that has a bruiser taking him really high, you know, but I can't see a team that needs a true one taking him really high.
So your new number four after Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Zach Charbonnet is Tajay Spears from Tulane, 5'10", 201 pounds. I love the tape. I love the highlight show, you know, the highlight reel runs. I mean, he puts so much stress on tacklers that are attempting to tackle him. He puts so much stress on himself just by the way he moves his body. I think he hurts himself because of what positions he's able to put himself in and changing directions. It's like, I don't think your joints can keep up with some of the athletic moves you can make. And that's one worry I have with Spears is some of the injuries he's had.
Yeah. And he has a lot of momentum. He was really a standout at the Senior Bowl. He was great in his bowl game. Great jumps at the combine, a little bit bigger for sure than A-Chain, both of whom were used as bell cow guys, rare cutting ability. But yeah, I mean, you have to worry about their ability.
And number five for you is the backup to Bijan Robinson, Roshan Johnson out of Texas, 6 feet, 219 pounds. Is this a, like a Miles Sanders playing behind
Barkley type of
playing behind, Saquon Barkley at Penn State situation?
In that 95% of the schools in the country, if he was on my Pitt Panthers, he'd have been a starter. You know, if we'd had him at Akron, we'd have given the ball every time. You know, I mean, like at most schools in the country, he would be a starter. He seems, it just dawned on me. I mean, Priest Holmes from Texas wasn't a starter at Texas either. I think he was behind Ricky Williams. You know, like there are a couple instances like that. Or when I was with the Browns, Cadillac and Ronnie Brown came out the same class. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be like Hall of Famers or top five picks or any of those type of things, but really, really good player. From all accounts, he's tough as nails. He's a star special teamer, and because he doesn't get on the field as much as he wants, so he's made his bones on special teams. Really rugged. You know, just looking at him, he looks a little different than some of these other backs. He looks like a full-grown man already, thick, powerful. Just keep giving me the ball. Maybe a Jordan Howard type.
Yeah, and of all the guys on this list, whether it was, you know, your honorable mentions or whatever, is the only guy that might play at like that classic 220-pound running back size. Even Zach Charbonnet, who's built pretty well and has some legs on him, 6 feet, 214. I thought he might even weigh in a little bigger. And who knows, maybe a lot of these guys play bigger and they're trying to look as athletic and be as athletic as possible at the combine. But interesting list of running backs, very deep. Is there any other honorable mentions you want to lay out here before we go after your top five?
I briefly mentioned Zach Evans, who was in my top five. He was a five-star recruit, and you can see why. I mean, he has some bad habits as a runner, but he is super explosive, and there's some inconsistencies with him and some injuries, but he could hit huge. I threw out some of the other names, Bigsby, Deuce Vaughn, I need to mention. He would not be high for me, but he happens to look just like Darren Sproles, and he goes to Kansas State, and he plays just like Darren Sproles. I mean, what's that worth in today's NFL? It may be less every down traits than Sproles, but still, I mean, he's very, very small, and he plays at Kansas State. And you know, he's going to be an impact player, but how much?
That is Matt Williamson's rankings for quarterbacks and running backs in the 2023 NFL draft. We'll have tons of other position groups. We'll go through them all here pre-draft. We'll go through them all again and hash these out and love draft season. And we will have you covered every step of the way with it. It's probably going to be trade season coming as well, leading up to the NFL draft with some big movement happening this offseason. Matt and I with you every step of the way. Make sure you're checking out for your second listens, everything else on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NFL Draft. We've got Locked On Scouting with the Draft Dudes. And, of course, your team is covered right here at Locked On. Matt and I back Monday right here. Peacock and Williamson.